Luisteraars van de TP Talks podcast, welkom weer bij een nieuwe versie. And I'm going to switch into English because we have some guys from Austria. And it's Kaetan Zwiegelmeier. I'm allowed to announce it once and then I can forget it, they told me. And Alexander Ziem, welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you had a very pleasant trip. It was very short, I heard.
It was very short here. The how to get back, thanks to the storm starting in the Netherlands. We will see how fast that goes.
Still a question mark.
Okay, welcome. We will do this in English. And the reason why we invited you is because you're very active in telecoms arena also, but you also published a report. And we would like to dive into this report. It's all about help, and you will explain what help is shortly, hopefully. And so we're going to discuss what you found out in the market, in the global market. We zoom in a bit on the Dutch market, if possible. And I think all the listeners, especially if you're a telco, keep your ears sharp, because after this meeting or after this call, you will probably know how to run your business and generate more money. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fundamentally the goal of the study.
Yeah. Okay. Alexander, to start with you. Who is Alexander?
Yeah, Alexander, I'm a senior director at Simon Kucher. I'm working in the global telco practice and based in Vienna with my family. But of course, as telco is a global business, also, yeah, basically supporting our clients around the globe.
Yeah. Okay. And you, your colleague, Kaetan.
Hello, I'm Kaetan. I'm a partner at Simon Kucher & Partners, and I head our global telecommunications and SATCOM practice, based not exactly in Austria, very close to it, Munich.
Yeah.
But that's fine, I think.
Okay. And how many people work for Simon Kucher?
2,500 employees, roughly.
Okay, so you cover the globe.
Yeah.
More than 50 offices.
Yeah. Okay. And just a general question, how is the telecom business doing?
I mean, as you know for sure, as you publish every day about it, it's a very interesting business with a lot of things going on. But at the same time, I would say the market dynamics for most of our players are not the best ones, because they are under a lot of or strong price pressure. Mm-hmm. This is actually also where we have our heritage in. And the Simon Kucher, we focus on helping our clients to perform or increase their commercial performance. And Alex and I, together with our team, we are working on the telco side. Mm-hmm. And with that regards, or that background, we have been analyzing the telco market for our clients since 5 years now. Yep. In our global telco study. And this year, also in truth, because of some engagements that we had, we did almost the same study design, which Alex has led, as in the previous years, but we focused it around one topic, and that's the help index. Healthy, loyal, paying customers.
Yeah.
Healthy, engaged, loyal,
loyalty paying, and paying.
Customers.
Yeah.
Because fundamentally, what we see is, despite everything being said 100 times, there's still a high focus in the commercial organizations in winning new customers.
Yeah. You talk about the blue and the red ocean.
I'm talking about the blue and the red ocean, exactly. And if you look at this, the red ocean, which I would describe the acquisition side, we have done the statistics about it. It's generating an average ARPU decline in newly acquired customers of roughly 7% across Europe.
Yeah.
For every customer that switches. And then we are also having to accept the fact that there is no untapped potential. Everyone has at least one mobile phone. Everyone has home connectivity, FWA, fiber, or still coax, or even still copper. But everyone is connected.
Yeah.
So there are no new customers coming in.
Yeah.
The customers that we get, we are winning from our competition,
yeah,
which then triggers competition to win them back from us on, again, 7% lower ARPUs, which creates a spiral that is, at the moment, I think, a very unhealthy spiral that we see in a lot of markets.
Yeah. Well, you zoom right in on the report, but perhaps first, what is the report you published? How do you make it? What did you do? And what's in it? Can you share with us too?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So overall, as Gaetan said, we have been doing it for 5 years now. This year is also basically our biggest study. So we have consistently grown it over the years. We now encompass 31 markets across really the entire globe, which also helps us to get a better understanding, of course, of regional differences and of also, of course, the post and prepaid split, which in some regions, of course, is still quite different to the European one, where we see, of course, a very postpaid heavy segment. And overall, the study... So with the 31 markets, we have roughly 16,000 consumers. It's a consumer study about the purchasing trends that we investigate. And of course, for us, it's always, as we are consultants, important not only to analyze the trends, but even more so the implications of the what the data tells us. And I think what's, you know, building on the Help Index, while we have been doing this study for quite some time now, the interesting thing is even some of the things we hadn't looked at in the past, right? Mm-hmm. And when you look at the customer lifetime value, this is something that we haven't really encountered in a broad way or extensively in the past, because telcos typically focus either on the ARPU or on the tenure or individual KPIs. But looking at customer lifetime value and driving that in a sustainable way as a KPI, that was also something where we said that would be good to investigate.
Yeah. Yeah, I read the report. It was a very interesting report to read, especially to how the Dutch compares to the rest of the world, of course, especially Europe. We will dive into that too later. The CLTV, I think that's the
abbreviation we use.
Yeah, exactly. I had to find it up two times to understand what it actually is, but it was evident because it's not the ARPU of 20 euros. It's about the CLTV of 1600 euros over time span of 5 or 6 years. Yes. So on average, what is the average CLTV for a mobile customer, for example, and how do we compare in the Dutch market? Are we outliers, or are there countries where you say, well, if they go to a mobile operator, they stick there for their life or something? I thought Japan was something from very special, I think. I'm asking a lot of details, but
yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I think so. Regarding the customer lifetime value, global average is around 2,000 euro over time. Yeah, so we just used euro as a unified currency, converting the currencies, with Indonesia being basically at the bottom, and the Netherlands, of course, being I would say somewhere in the middle. Yeah, in the average. Average ARPUs. The interesting thing, to dive a bit into it. Of course, Western European markets, typically higher ARPU markets, therefore also having a higher customer lifetime value. Two interesting observations in particular. One is we see basically that customer lifetime value, the cohorts within that show significant deviations. So if you look at markets like Switzerland, for example, the customers that have been more loyal or more longer than 10 years with their operator is one of the highest that we observe across all the markets. At the same time, another thing is that we relatively consistently over the years see 25% of opportunity seekers that don't stay with their operator for longer than 3 years.
Yeah.
So they will always basically move to the next best option. So therefore, the question really is, from a sustainability part, how to address the other 75%.
Yeah. If I may jump in on this one, because I think this is a very important topic. If you know that 25% of customers are opportunity seekers, you could say, I just let them go and pass.
Yeah.
But what I mentioned earlier, we are still focused on acquisition. So we are winning back this in a three-player market like the Dutch market, right? We try to win back 7+ X percent of the market every year, reduce our ARPU by 7%. Yeah. But what we do not consider is... and that's important, because I just had a case, not in the Netherlands, but somewhere else, where a manager was really not aware of this. We also use this to drag down our loyal base, because the base will not renew on the old contracts and stay on the higher RPO level, our ATL portfolio at some time or after 24 months typically also flows into our base. Mm-hmm. So we are fighting over 25% of the market that are frequent movers,
yeah,
and accepting that we drag down 75% of the market, which are the loyal customers that would, in theory, be willing to stay at the prices they are locked in today.
Yeah, and the, and those customers, are there's 75% are very displeased with the fact that the newcomers get all the promotions, the new TVs, and I think the KPN now started selling, offering the Sony PlayStation for 400-500 euros. So that's, of course, the reason that the ARPU drops, of course. And they're just moving around the same people. And in the Netherlands, I think we estimated, not 25%, I think it's a bit lower, but at least more than a million. But suppose you're a manager of KPN and you need to win new customers because they didn't fix yet the backdoor. What's your advice then for KPN to do, for example? Is to fix the backdoor first, or what would be wise for such an operator to do?
I mean, starting, and Alex, please add in, but my advice would be you can't wait fixing the backdoor.
No.
And you're already going to win new customers. Mm-hmm. So my priority would be fixing the backdoor.
Yeah.
But I would also immediately start thinking about how do I fix my front door?
Yeah.
Because today, and I don't use this because it's on vogue and everyone using it, but with AI-driven models, with in theory being at the fingertip of every of our customers, we have more opportunities than just having a new Xbox as a promise to new customers or doing an ATL campaign about X percent discount.
Yeah.
We have way more granular and fine-tuned ways of engaging also with new customers, or let's call them former customers. Because in the case of KPN, or also in the case of Odido and Vodafone, there are not that many customers that haven't been with us of those that we have lost or that we want to win.
They've seen them all.
Huh? Exactly. They have seen them all. They have moved through all doors.
Yeah.
So long answer, but don't wait with the backdoor. And at the same time, start reviewing what and how you want to let people into your front door.
Yeah, because the Dutch market is, especially the fixed market, is extremely dynamic with KPN and Ziggo, of course, being the... forgive me the word incumbents, to put it that way, and then we have Odido and Delta building up the case, so everybody is using the price as a weapon to win new customers, and you say actually don't use price perhaps not too often, but you also in your report have some other things you can do as an operator to close the back door and open the door for specific people and not everybody. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you share a bit more about the happiness, engagement, loyalty, and paying? And especially the loyalty, I think, is interesting because loyalty is a very difficult thing for an operator to implement because they say it eats away my revenue from existing customers. And they are all struggling to find how to do it. Can you help them?
So maybe just briefly on the help index.
Yeah.
What we've seen is really that happiness and engagement have a direct correlation with driving customer lifetime values. So the loyal and paying part, loyalty times ARPU is the customer lifetime value. With basically loyalty program participation having the highest impact.
Yeah.
This is, by the way, also something not only in Europe, but that we see as a global trend that this really has a strong lever, having a loyalty program, which of course at the same time can be hopefully engaging if it's done well.
Yeah.
To keep customers. I think some of the key observations on the happiness side or customer satisfaction side, telcos don't have a history of being sort of at the forefront of keeping customers happy compared to other industries. So here we see overall satisfaction on average is at a relatively low level compared to other industries. However, the interesting thing from a telco perspective is also that even in each of the markets, you have extreme discrepancies with some doing actually very well in satisfaction, how they do it by, for example, driving first call resolution. So resolving incidents at the first time and other things. But of course, a big element is also the price value relation. So basically giving people people or making clear to people what the value drivers are so that they have a good perception of the offer and not having a fear of missing out on the market.
Maybe if I can also, you ask about the loyalty, right? What can they do to increase loyalty? Everyone, when the word loyalty is mentioned, thinks immediately about loyalty programs. What can I do? How expensive will it be? Do I need to have an airline-like loyalty program, et cetera, et cetera? I would start thinking way more simple and way more rational about this, right? There's an old truth that the more services a customer has with you, the less is the likelihood that he churns.
Yeah. The lock-in.
The login.
Yeah.
We try to do this with FMC.
Yeah.
But that's not sufficient. That's still commodity products and we can exchange it one-to-one with another operator. Mm-hmm. But what we start seeing, and I think Odido on the top tier offers, but also KPN, I think, was part of their loyalty program with value-added services, starts to become different for two reasons. Reason number one, if I ask all of us here, what do we want? Everyone of us wants entertainment, which is similar to connectivity. Everyone needs connectivity. But not everyone wants Netflix or HBO Plus or something else. Yeah. So we need to rethink how we offer that. And this makes it then much more difficult for our customers to compare offers with other offers or increases the barrier to really churn. So this is one thing, trying to really sell more things. The second thing is, and I think this is way too less, a little regarded, it's some psychological facts. Going back for 1 second to the airline loyalty program, do you know what a status member hates or loves more, becoming a status member or losing the status?
I think losing is more difficult.
Exactly.
Irritating.
Losing is much more painful than the joy of winning it.
Yeah.
So if we turn that in our world, we need, what we need to give customers is the feeling that they are valued, that they are special, and that they have something that they cannot gain elsewhere.
Yeah.
So we don't need to design an expensive loyalty program with points and partners, etc. Yeah. We just need to say, dear loyal customer, what you get from me is I have a special tariff that's only accessible for loyal customers, and it's bringing you more value for a little more than what is on my ATL portfolio.
Yeah.
And immediately you have a significant impact on the churn, because I think now twice, I could go to that one. It gives me a little bit cheaper price, but I don't get exactly what's there. Yeah. And competition has a way harder time to compete against this because they don't see the tariff.
Yeah. You mentioned ATL, you mean above the line.
Exactly.
We use front book and back book pricing. So what you publish.
Front book.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the, for the listeners, so they understand what ATL is, above the line, advertising, whatever. The funny thing about loyalty, if you go to the energy sector in the Netherlands, for example, I'm part of an a company that gives me a reduction if I'm 2 years member or 5 years or 10 years. And what I notice is that when I'm comparing every year, should I switch to another provider, is that, I have the 10% reduction. How does it compare? I can't compare it anymore. So then I stay where I are and think, oh, it's okay. So, but I talk to a lot of telcos and they all struggle. They all find it very difficult to implement this kind of loyalty. You now have loyalty where you get new products or services. With Odido, I can get subscriptions for free. I get presents, but I don't like presents. I don't need presents. So what you say is give them a specific status is, I think, perhaps the way to go. The golden KPN status, for example.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one thing. I'm not saying that this is the needed thing.
Yeah.
But I think what you are saying is absolutely true. I think what makes telco and energy in this example difficult, and this is also one thing that we are clearly seeing and where the Dutch market is actually ahead of the European market, is the telco sector has been extremely good in beating itself down. When I started my telco career almost 15 years back, there was already a theory that, yeah, we will scale our revenue up because data consumption will go up. Mm-hmm. And I remember a project that I did in 2014, right after the introduction of LTE, 4G. My project manager on the client side told me, yeah, but volumes will go up. It will go so much up. And I said, look, volumes will go up. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But competition will beat them up before the user gets there. And this is exactly what we see today, right?
Yeah.
So on the price-value equation, which is the important thing, and we also measure the satisfaction with the price-value equation. Alex can say maybe a little bit about this in the Netherlands in a second.
Yeah.
But on a price-value equation, the determinator, the value, is increasing so much faster than the price that a 10% discount over 6 years seems like nothing to a telco client.
Yeah.
But that's a homemade problem. And we could change that. So absolutely with you. We have to think about loyalty, and there are different ways of how to generate loyalty without going into point systems and lounges.
Keep it simple, by the way.
Keep it simple. That would be my advice. Keep it simple, but think how you do it, which is not that simple.
Yeah. Okay. You ask Alexander a question. So, Alexander, can you zoom in on what?
Sure. Happy to. Yeah. On the price value relation. So, this is actually, it's slightly above the European average. Yeah. Basically there is a slight, I think 56% or so of customers actually perceive telco services to be fairly priced, while the rest doesn't. But in general, I think there is an underlying trend in order even to keep that situation, that status, because what we are also seeing is there is a consistent erosion across the globe on the differentiators, right? And while, as Kaitan said, the Dutch market is already ahead when it comes to core monetization by, of course, offering speed differentiation, which was also only changed, I think, about 1.5 years ago. There is, of course, an ongoing thing, because if you look back, premium handsets, for example, used to be only reserved to the premium players, right? They were only iPhones, etc., exclusively sold by them. 5G, the same thing, eSIM, etc., you name it. And what we are observing across the globe, and especially, I think, even more in Europe and of course, also in the Netherlands in a different stage, is that these value differentiators are successively eroded by budget players.
Yeah.
And so the question is always, what is the next frontier? What is the next differentiator that I can actually offer to stay ahead of the game and also to keep that good perception of price value?
Yeah, and not losing value.
Exactly.
Yeah. For the Netherlands, Odido launched speed tiering for its mobile package. KPN followed, I think. Vodafone is still waiting. I'm not sure why. You had something in the report about speed tiering, I think.
Yes.
Do you think it would be a wise move for KPN to follow?
For Vodafone to follow?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think in general, you know, there is no fixed answer, but overall, I would say what we are seeing as across the industry is in general the trend, right? As a core differentiator, moving from data long term to speed. What we see is there is an increasing interest into speed based propositions. While, you know, Switzerland or Finland were among the markets that started it first already more than 10 years ago, we increasingly see the interest for it. But of course, the question is, what is then even coming after that?
Yeah.
Right? And in our perspective, it's value-added services.
Yeah.
But not only just listing a range of value-added services that you can offer, it's more about the way they are sold. This we believe is basically will make the difference or move the needle.
And the way they're sold, you mean how easy can the customer access the new services? Because you also mentioned something about the telecom app, the service app that is an essential tool to get the customer pay more for services. Or
I think you're mentioning a very important point. I think it's the access to the service, the awareness of the service, which, by the way, I think Odido did a very nice job by bundling that in their core products, because that increases the attention of the customers significantly, that those services are actually available with the player. And then I think we also have to embrace the new world much more than we do today. In today's world, many telco apps are still either focused on service or have now started to have some games, some discounts in it. But what we don't do, we don't use it enough to bring an offer actually to the customer. If you think about mobile ARPUs, if you would be able to do every second month a €1 ARPU increase for each of our customers on average, that would be already huge, right?
Yeah, would be, of course, depending on the number of customers, but it would be huge,
In relative terms, that would be definitely already huge.
But you say then there is a way to use the service app to make that happen.
This is what I'm saying. I think this is the tool that can create something like the spontaneous purchases, the impulse buying that you have in the supermarket, right?
Yeah.
You go to the counter, to the cashier, you see, there's a Duplo, there's this or that, and you just take it and it's priced below €5, between 1 and 5, and then you don't even think about it. If you think about that, if we can create such a heterogeneous on top structure, and it doesn't, and this is also an important point, I think many telco companies should be thinking about more, it doesn't always be a recurring revenue, right? If it's just happening on a frequent basis,
once a year,
that's fine, because that's one of the big barriers of many people still. I don't want to commit now for 12 or 24 months, but at this point in time, I would like to buy it. So I think this is something that can help on the L, the loyalty effect, and on the P, the paying effect, because it means that I get the feeling my operator is actually thinking about me. He gives me meaningful touch points, meaningful interactions and offers, which I, by the way, get from most of the other apps as well. If you think about how many pop-ups you get per day, and then you think about how many pop-ups you get from your telco provider.
Zip, zero.
Exactly.
None.
And it generates ARPU. So.
Yet. Yeah. Is there a provider in the world or Europe that's actually using that way of generating more revenue?
They are starting to do this. We see that. So I can't disclose that, but we have just done a project in Europe about this, starting initially with doing it through the classic services, but with the end game to do it through the app, which also takes always a little bit of a development cycle. But I think we are seeing this increasingly. And in my view, it's one of the key ways forward if we want to do sustainable work with our customer base.
Actually, we monitor the service apps in the Dutch market. We just published a report about it. I will share you some highlights of it. And we also have an open question about what do you miss in the app? And I think not a big amount, but an amount of people say, well, I would like to have promotions or I would like to have special offers. So
I think this is a key point that you're raising, right? I mean, overall, in the Netherlands, or very much in line with the European market. I mean, telcos have gone a long way over the last years also to drive penetration of their apps. And now we are actually at a stage where it really matters as a platform. Penetrations are, based on the study indication, also around 80%. So at a really high level already. Even daily usage in the range of 50%. So we really see this is something that can be used. However, at the same time, most telcos actually go down the route of using it as an extended service channel instead of saying, why not actually use it more as a sales channel, right? Exactly as you say, for promotions, for keeping engagement and using that engagement, not only to self-service myself, but really also to make myself aware of new offerings.
Perhaps also given the time, I think we will run a bit later on this one because it's very interesting. On the help index, the help is of course meant to understand the customer life value, how you can extend it. And each of the letter of help stands for something. What makes the biggest impact for the value of a customer? Is that the age of happiness? Should you work on the NPS or should you focus on getting people to pay more? I think the latter, but I'm not sure.
I mean, it depends on what is your time horizon, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Most of our telco companies are stock listed private companies focused on earning money relatively fast. So the P is, of course, one of the core elements in my view. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you rethink that, sustainable growth will come from extending the L and making the L higher. But I think to the H and the P are in theory, in the way how I would summarize it, the vehicles to drive the P and the L mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And then you can balance it to your needs. Mm-hmm. If we look at the loyalty, if I can reduce my churn by 10%, this will not just have a cost impact. It will have an impact on how much I need to drive my acquisition and therefore how fast the price spiral goes down.
Yeah.
And that's also important, it will have an impact on how much I can cross-sell to my base, because it's also a fact that we are seeing that the longer a customer is with you, the easier it is to sell him something else.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not either or. Of course, if you're interested in short-term topics, then the P must be prioritized.
Yeah.
But if you work on all ends of the help index, you will generate a spiral upwards that helps you to more sustainably manage your business at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, understandable. Yeah. Alexander, also giving a time, what can operators do to reduce the churn then? What would you advise?
I mean, I think there are a range of measures to drive that. Yeah, of course, one, I think, as we mentioned before, can be convergence. Yeah, driving basically FMC, MMC packages. However, important is also to see here, we see it only works in 50% of markets, right? Yeah. So there's always the belief if we drive convergence, it will reduce churn, which is not always the case. Yeah. Therefore, really important to do that, to really identify what the proposition is and how to do that also in a margin sustainable way. But of course, there are various other ways. I think a key one, of course, is also proactive retentions, really trying to proactively communicate with the customer. So that basically before it even comes to the point, right, where they don't feel heard or don't feel basically seen, that you ideally make them an offer, right? Yeah. And I think also just to close the loop also on the engagement part, I think this is something staying constantly engaged will help to not let it even get that far in the first place.
Yeah. Okay.
If I may, one last sentence on the engagement. This is one thing that we see on a global scale in our study that is still different across different regions and also slightly different in the Netherlands, but where we believe that the ultimate truth is reflected by the global study. There's a belief that the more I engage with customers, the more dangerous it is, so let them sleep. Mm-hmm. We have the proof that on a global level, at the beginning, if you don't touch a customer or if you only have one touch point with a customer, the NPS is stable. Mm-hmm. Then it drops significantly.
Yeah.
But if you have 10 or more engagement points, it comes back to the same level.
Okay.
Meaning in between, you lose because you have too many touch points where a customer is not happy. Mm-hmm. But at the end, if you meaningfully, continuously engage with the customer is as happy as if you don't talk to him.
Yeah.
But you have the opportunity to work with him and he will develop sympathy for you and will get familiar to you. And therefore, you will not just be a red brand, a green brand, or a multicolor brand.
Yeah.
You will be someone to him where he has trust to. Because we know also from psychology that the more I engage with someone, the more I trust him and I know him, and the harder it is to leave.
Yeah, and then they advise all the friends and families there to choose the green one or the yellow one or the blue one, whatever. So the NPS rise again. So it's a short circle that... enforces or makes itself stronger and better. So okay. One last remark for you. You get the floor. So what would you like to share with our listeners? Alexander, you first. Maybe anything telecom related, of course.
Anything telecom related. I think really, if I have to boil it down, I think identifying or using customer lifetime value as a KPI to really sustainably think how you can drive that, because it all already forces you not to think only in value creation or the loyalty, but both at the same time. And of course, also seeing who is best in class to really to, like, and ideally the Help Index can be a tool for that, to use the learnings and identify where to, you know, look for inspiration.
Okay. Okay, it's on you.
Well, help your customers and help yourself. Stop fishing in the red ocean. Yeah. Focus on the blue ocean. There's a lot of value that can be gained, and there's a lot of potential that is not exploited. While on the red ocean, everyone has almost done everything already.
Yeah. So listening to your last advice, I presume all the Dutch operators will call you within a moment to help them block the churn.
That's why we are here, right?
Yeah, that was the purpose. Yeah. Just a little note, the report we discussed, is it free for download somewhere?
Sure, can be downloaded.
Yeah.
If you go at simon-kutcher.com, you will find on the telco space the link for the download.
Okay.
And otherwise, you will find us on LinkedIn, so feel free to reach out.
And to be honest, guys, I had a long list of talking points. I only touched the first one. So I will invite you later for another call on this, the dynamic telecoms sector and arena. Thank you for being here. I wish you good luck with driving home to Vienna or Munich. It's a long way, but I probably will go by train or fly. I'm not sure.
Plane.
Okay, well, if they fly today.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Listeners, thank you for listening. Luisteraars, dank voor het luisteren. En hopelijk hebben jullie genoten. En benieuwd naar jullie reactie uiteraard. En ik hoor jullie graag of spreek jullie graag weer een volgende keer. Dankjewel. Tot ziens.